It's volcanoes. It's part of the Pacific Rim. We know about earthquakes. We have volcanoes. Kind of like the Pacific Northwest. You know, volcanoes and earthquakes. It's been a reality. I'm from Battleground, Washington, 20 miles as a crow flies from Mount St. Helens. So that's kind of, we just kind of went home. It's in the tropics. We're about 12 degrees north of the equator, which means it's always hot. I don't mean kind of hot, it's always hot. A very, very cool day where we live is 72. That would be the coldest it's been in 30 years. So for us, Washington's a little chilly, but I'm enjoying it because I'm also not sweating and just being comfortable and sleeping well at night. It's really a pleasure for us. In those 7,000 islands, we're going to go to the next slide. Is it not soon?
It's thinking about it.
It's thinking about it, okay. Good. Its brain moves about my speed.
So can I ask you a question?
Sure, yeah.
How come is the population so high? Huge families?
Yeah, that's partially it. It is a country where Asian culture is very dependent on children. Retirement is basically having a lot of kids that work hard and help you. So people being older in that country is really nice. People treat elderly people very well in general. Okay, now, the next thing that happened is, this is the thing that happened that I didn't anticipate, nobody did. The strongest hurricane to ever hit land happened on November 8th, 2013. And you called it, or the world called it, Haiyan. In the Philippines, it was called Yolanda. This was a city of 46,000 people. Basically, that's what the whole city looked like. 190-mile-an-hour winds for 8 hours. This particular city only got wind, this little town city called Gion. It cut a swath across the country, basically about 100 miles wide, and like a tornado. Just destroyed it. And affected 4.4 million people were homeless in a day. Now, Nepal is a very serious situation, but the number of people in the Philippines who were affected by this typhoon was more than the whole population of Nepal. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Yes?
Where were you during that?
We were right on the edge of it. We got some wind, but and nothing really severe. About 40-mile-an-hour winds, a little bit of rain. Huh? Yeah, we moved our chickens and rabbits inside the house. But this, I put this up here. This is a cement house. This is not wind. We got a storm surge. Now, not we. I personally did not. But this town got a storm surge of a 30-foot wall of water. It was a town of 15,000. And I was there 10 days after the storm. That's when this picture was taken. 90% of the homes were just gone. I remember looking at one. I have a picture of it, but you can't see it very well. All that's left is the cement floor and the toilet. Everything else is gone. You went through the cemetery just tearing up tombstones and graves and bones and everything were distributed all over the place. You just left the whole place. We were in a building with our son Brendan for a meeting. And the building was starting to do this, so we decided we'd go outside. And not from the wake, that was afterwards. It just wasn't very structurally sound. So this has been not a big component of ministry for me, but some of you, I believe, met with Tom and Gail Shook. Tom was with me when we went here. It continues to be an ongoing emphasis of our national church, and people have poured money in. Our national church has distributed about $200,000 to $250,000 $15,000 worth of aid to various communities. We have done church planting behind this, come into a community, put up the national, international agencies like the UN and Red Cross and Islamic Aid and others, put up tents. I think like, I don't know, several hundred thousand tents were put up in just a short while. As American citizens, not an inappropriate pride, but a sense of you were very effective. I flew in a small plane to an abandoned airport that was built back for the Vietnam War, long time ago, Giwan. We flew in there, there was no traffic control, we were in a small plane. There was a guy on the ground, he was picking up feed from two destroyers sitting out in the bay, in Leyte Gulf, right where MacArthur landed. And they were calling in air traffic control, and a guy on walkie-talkie, a Marine, was directing air traffic. And I got there, and American soldiers were unloading food, flying it out in Ospreys to little islands where they just didn't have anything. It was one, a British citizen came up to me and he said, we are very glad that you came back. It was really a cool time to be there. American soldiers, officers, and enlisted men were unloading rice, just huge quantities of aid. C-130s were flying in, just one right after the other. There was nothing at this little airport anymore. The one building that was there, the roof was gone, nothing was there. So it was really an amazing time. Could we go to the next slide and I'll find out what I'm talking about? Okay, yeah. 7,000 people plus died in that storm. Most of that from the storm surge. I was in one small, Philippines, 100,000 people is a small town. And I was in that town, 1,000 people died. They ran out of land to bury in, so they needed vacant land, so they were burying them in the median in the road. But God's using that. There's a church there now that we had never planted a church in that community. There are other churches in that community, but it's 100,000 people. There need to be at least 1,000 churches. 100 churches, so we can have one church for every 1,000. And so there's a little church there, a little evangelical free church, alongside the road, tiny little thing. Our son helped build it, a different son. And it's a graduate of the college that I taught at that I didn't even know lived in the community. He's a rice farmer, he studied under me, he's the pastor. So you're a part of that. I taught that guy for several years. Dionisio Singh, really great young man. Married, had several children. He planted a church. I was there the first Sunday. We met under a tarp. It was pouring down buckets of rain. I mean, they poked a pole under the tarp. Gallons would be dumped out. But we were there having church. Singing, I preached. I don't know what he said because it was a different language than the one I speak. But it was just a joy to be there. Okay, so that's just to show you, that was a department store. That's their product on the street because the wind came and the rains came and everything got trashed. So it was a pretty serious situation. So the end result of this is we are now planting. They're in that area of the typhoon. We have planted 7 or 8 churches, and we're in process to start another 10 or 15. So, as a result of the typhoon, we got there. We handed out food. We handed out GI sheets, roofing. All the roofing was gone, just stripped. And we handed out GI sheets. So, let's go to the next slide. So, which is about church planting. Let's go to the next one. This is a church Carol and I helped in for the previous 11 years. We're no longer helping there. That church is ongoing. It's not in the typhoon area. These are dear people. I mean, I could go through and talk about each one, but we're not going to do that. But this is just to show you that there is church planting ongoing in the country. This is one of the ones Carol and I were involved in. But let's go to the next slide. This is the church we're involved in now, not at this location. We were on a family church retreat, and 8 people got baptized. And there's some... It's hard to look at those faces. They're very dear. And one of them in there, the guy's got the t-shirt with the heart on it. Francis. His house is the one that got ransacked just a few months ago, about a month ago. He has nothing. I mean, literally, they have very, very little. And somebody broke into their house and stole what they could. Because they were visiting us and helping with the Vacation Bible School in another part of the country. So, yeah, actually right where this, you know, the same island this scene is taken at. This island was just stripped of trees. And many houses were blown down. Most people were living in tents. This is an area we actually go for vacation, have for the last 20 years, and since before Mark was born. And now there's a church there that got planted by our pastor, Chris. Unfortunately, the guy with his back to you is his brother planted a church there. And now they have a building through generosity of people from outside the country. And they are starting another church in a different town on that island. This island is about 6 miles on a side. It's a triangle. Has 175,000 people on it. Most of it doesn't have people because they live very small. And so there are 2 churches being planted on that island now. And so we're excited. Let's go to the next slide. Oh, you're baptized. That's Francis being baptized. Yeah, you can see Pastor Chris, the guy in the salt and pepper hair, graduate of the college. He sat my classes, really neat guy. Not because of me, just he is a neat guy. And they have a church of 50 people, and currently they're planting 4 churches. So, small churches are getting the job done. So this was baptismal, same baptismal service. Let's go to the next slide. These are the houses that were getting built. Now, some people had tents. This is an upgrade on a tent. That's a 4x8 sheet of plywood. Tells you how big the house is. You build them, if you get enough people, you can build one in a day. And the German mission has built like 20 homes in this community. And if you build somebody a home, and then you come and share the gospel with them, they listen. They listen very carefully. You get Carol, at the same time you were building this house, Carol was out with a bunch of people feeding children. So this is an ongoing need. This community is still not fully recovered, but let's go to the next slide a little bit. Yeah, in the Philippines, that 48 million people, when we first went, there were 27 evangelical free churches. There are now 117. Not because of what I've done, but because of what the Holy Spirit has done through Filipino pastors. They have planted churches, and not just 117, because right now there are about 15 to 20 in process. So about a year from now, that number should be over 130. And we don't see it slowing down. We're excited. I mean, when I went, we were not planting churches very rapidly. And now we are. The college that you have helped support is a huge factor in that process. The college has grown. Well, we're going to go to the college. Let's take another slide. I teach at a college. I used to be the academic dean. I'm now just a faculty member. Let's go to the next one. This is the current graduating class of one of the campuses. Because of language and culture and many other factors, the college started 2 campuses. Then because of the government, we were operating together just fine. But because of the government and all their regulations about how you do transcripts and all get accreditation and all this stuff, we decided to separate the 2 schools. And now those 2 schools are doing very well, still very good friends. It wasn't an ugly thing, it was totally positive. The school in Manila, which speaks Tagalog, in English has about 80 students. They're meeting in a large church building near the school that our son went to. And the school in Cebu that started with 11 students meeting in kindergarten classroom. I taught one of the first classes. We sat in kindergarten furniture with a kindergarten chalkboard and bent over to write. Now it's got its own campus. We're living there right now and in the small apartment. It has 117 students in college and 300 kids in K through 12. So we're excited about that too. The K through 12 helps to finance the Bible college. So we are, and the graduates of the college are doing well. There have been over 200 people graduate from the Cebu campus alone. And when I go to pastors' meetings, most of the pastors there sat in my classes. The National Board, they just had a conference, we'll see some slides of that. Two of the members of the National Board were my students. So it's really starting to have an impact. And though at that college, this was just March. School year runs June to March, so in just another 2 weeks, classes start in the Philippines. And so they will be going until March again with a new group of students. Probably somewhere around 80 to 90 enrollment. Some of the students in that college come from the area where the typhoon went through. Some of them went home to no home. Some of them went to see family, make sure they were okay. One of the students in that college happened to be out of school that semester. He was in Tacloban when the wave came. He was holding onto a pipe with one arm and a kid with the other arm for 45 minutes while this big, huge wave went through and then went back out. He saved the kid's life. So you have him sitting in your classroom. It kind of changes the whole atmosphere. I mean, he doesn't brag. He doesn't talk about it at all. But he's just a dear young man. So let's look at the next shot. Oh, this is from a couple years ago. This young man just got installed as a pastor in one of our larger churches down in the southern part of the country. He's going to be at Tago. It's a city of about 150,000, a church down there of 100 to 200 people. And he's their new pastor. But he graduated 2 years ago. Okay, let's go to the next slide. These are some of the things I did besides. And I didn't even really include much of what Carol did. She was not sitting at home doing nothing. She was actively involved in ministry. She was taking care of home while I was traveling to typhoon relief and teaching at the college and all these other things besides her other ministry activities. But I was on the Faith Academy board where Brian Fouts is on the administrative staff. And Ron and Linda Saki taught for so many years. Our children all went to school there, so I flew to Manila 5 times a year to be at a board meeting. Got to see my son, stay at his dorm overnight. It was a lot of fun. And Faith Academy continues to be a very vibrant, effective educational ministry in the country with an enrollment of about 500 now. They had two campuses. They separated also because partially of government regulations and other issues. And so the Manila campus is the one I was the board member for. I will be going back to be the director of church planning for the National Church. That means one of my bosses is the president of the National Church. So I sit with the Filipinos a lot. We talk about where are we going to go, what kind of training are we going to do, how are we going to help the churches that start new churches, and a lot of things like that. And then finally, we actually go to a small church that meets in a conference room in a hotel. Fifth floor, small room, very small room, with about 50 people. And we're excited about what that church is doing. Graduate of the college, Chris is my pastor. And they and the men from that, they're forming the leadership team of that church, come to our place every Saturday night. And we eat together, and then we are teaching them how to preach and how to study the Bible and all these great things. So they come to our house, they bring their food, and we supply a little bit of our food, mostly desserts. They love American cookies and things like that. So it's really a special time. Now, what time do we have to be done?
10 minutes.
Questions? And I'll even ask my wife questions. Barry.
The Bible College, would that be comparable then to like a seminary in the United States or a Bible college in the United States, the curriculum? Or?
It'd be more like Multnomah Bible College. Yeah, it would vary high school graduation to get in, and then a fairly broad educational program. We have two majors. One is pastoral. The other one is education. So people that take the education major then can go take the national exam for it to become teachers. We just had 4 more graduates pass the national board exam. So that, for our college, that's great. Because that means that we're doing a good job. And they're capable of becoming public school teachers. Some of them are. Salt in the community. Salt in society. And so we're really excited about that one. And most of our churches have kindergartens. So these young ladies mostly are becoming teachers. Yeah?
How many languages do you speak?
How many languages do I speak? I speak 2 languages. English and Cebuano. And I read a couple of others. Hebrew and Greek. I'm not going to do those in front of anybody. Yeah, Susan.
I want to know what Mark's going to do now.
Oh, excellent. I didn't think. Yes, you can ask questions of my son.
Yes.
He's quite articulate.
Mark, what are you going to do?
I plan on going to Ecola this year.
Where's that?
In Cannon Beach, Oregon.
So if the men go to the conference down there, they should look you up?
Hopefully you'll wait on their tables or something.
That'd be nice.
Yeah,
I was just curious on that. You told us about the coolest day. What's the hottest day?
You know, it's the tropics. So the hottest day isn't as hot as I thought it would be. The hottest I've seen on a thermometer. Thermometers are pretty rare because you don't need them. The hottest day I have seen is 104.
What's
the humidity? Well, basically it's the same as the thermometer. 80-90%. Yeah, it's really humid. And we're all struggling. Yes.
What do they grow for crops?
Crops. Our island, very little, because we're mostly mountains. But traditionally grow a lot of rice, bananas, especially in the south, large banana plantations. 30,000 acres, sugar, okay. The next island over, there's a lot of sugar grown there, and pineapple. Dole has a big plantation, Del Monte has a big plantation just south of us, big, 200,000 acres, and on a different island. But it's mostly coconuts. Okay, that brings back a whole point. Thank you for reminding me of that. Coconut trees are very, coconut's not a tree. You wouldn't think of it as trees. I don't. The lumber is kind of crummy and everything else. But coconut trees are very good in the wind because they don't have any leaves. This storm busted them off. Philippines is the largest producer of coconut oil in the world. And they lost 14 million trees. If the tree really goes down, it takes about 8 years to recover. You know, it's like an orchard. Orchard goes down, you just don't plant and get it. It's not like wheat, plant it and get it that year. So, yeah, this was a huge thing for them. Actually, one of the things we did for community development after the storm, we bought chainsaws. And they use big stills, 30, 36 inch bark to you, that's normal. But in that country, the trees are only in the ground, but they use the long bar to rip the trees into lumber. And so we were providing them with a way to rebuild houses. We bought, 8, 9 chainsaws. And distributed them out. People used them, and the people had to bring, had to provide the tree. We provided the labor, the gas, and the chainsaw, and ripped lumber. And we helped, oh, I don't know, several hundred people recover that way.
They built their houses out of
coconut
tree wood?
Yeah, yeah. If you keep it dry, it'll last for a few years. That little house, that little house that you saw being built, that was an upgrade for most people.
What is that house built out of?
That was coconut lumber, and then a very thin, you know, I don't know, what's the thinnest plywood you can buy here? Quarter inch? Yeah, we have 3/16, and I have seen 1/8 inch for sale. You know, it's the kind of, you can read the newspaper through. But yeah, it's real thin plywood.
So how long is that house going to last?
Well, they'll make it last a long time. They'll have to do a lot of work to it. Termites are a big issue. Yeah, replace the wood, things like that. They'll add on to it. That house, you know, they expect it, that's supposed to be a transitional home. But they'll make it last 10 years, 15 years. But it's supposed to last about 4 to 5 years. But they moved out of the tent. I mean, of the 4.4 million families living in tents, or people living in tents, I would say probably 1 to 2 million of them still are. You go places and see tents everywhere.
What about building materials? You know, the equator is not famous for building materials.
No. Basically, what we do is, like our house was built out of cement block. That's the best thing to do because it fights the turbulence.
They make the cement blocks there.
Yeah, cement blocks there. There are big cement plants. We have lots of limestone. Our island is basically a limestone quarry. And they make big amounts of cement. They're huge cement plants. And they now, on our island, there is a rebar factory. They bring in big steel rod and they roll it into rebar. And you can buy cement. Metal roofing is probably the big thing. They've even gone to steel for trusses, and even used to be you would do interior lumber. Now it's all, in a really good home, it's going to be metal studs with something we call Hardiplex. It's cement impregnated board. So the termites don't eat it. Termites eat everything. While our house was being built, the one we had built a long time ago, we no longer live there, the scaffolding got eaten by the termites while the house was being put up. After they treated the ground for termites, yes. And still, they go down the conduit and eat your furniture. All kinds of things. Yeah. It's ugly. Other questions? I think we're good. Yeah?
What made you want to be a missionary?
What made me want to be a missionary? I would say, I'll speak to that personally. I think a big influence of my parents, who are not missionaries, my mother has passed away, my dad fixed wrecked cars. But they always had missionaries visit in our home. And we went to a church like this church that supported missionaries. And I saw missionaries. I went to a college where they talked a lot about missionaries. And I married a young lady who was willing to go to the mission field. So all of those things were fact. Thank you, excellent question. All those were fact. I became informed. I read missionary biographies. I thought about resources. I'll be talking about this during the message. You know, where were the needs? And in the Philippines, the Evangelical population is about, when we went there, it was 5%. Now it's about 10%. It's a narrow slice of a very big pie. So that means 10 million people would feel very comfortable coming to your church. Yes, Susan.
I thought you
were going to tell me we better quit.
I want you to give us an update on Michael and Angie. Explain who they are.
Okay, sure, yeah. We have 5 children. This is the youngest. We have 4 boys and a girl. Girls in Southern California teaching at a preschool. Our number 2 is Michael. He's married to Angie, the only one that's married. He has our only grandchildren, Colton and Macy, and they are in Indonesia. They became missionaries, I think, because he grew up on the mission field. He is a mechanic for MAF. He'll be fixing small planes. He just finished 1 year of language study of a language that's related to our language, but not the same. And his wife learned it from scratch. More power to Angie. And they just finished language school last week. They have been the last 5 days in Jakarta, and tomorrow, actually today, their time, they moved to the island where the airstrip is, where he will start working on airplanes.
And our church helps support them.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you very much. We are, man, it is so exciting. It is so cool to see people take on support for your children. That means a lot. And Michael and Angie are doing a great job. They have Muslim friends. They know Indonesia. They are learning the language very well. They are working very hard at adjusting. It's hard. Another language, another culture. Michael's got a little bit of an advantage, but Indonesia is a different country. We went there at Christmas. It's quite different. A lot of fun. I liked it. Okay, other questions? I think maybe we are. It's 10:12. I don't know what time we're supposed to close. Another question? If not, I'm going to pray and ask God to bless us as we go. Father, thank you very much for this time. Thank you for these dear people who are very much a part of our lives and have been for the last 30 years. We thank you for your provision of our needs through them. And thank you for the provisions for this church. We pray for Irondale that you continue to use it as a lighthouse in this community. We pray all these things in